Okay, Shalom Aleichem Rabbos. Today's daf is Pesachim, daf Tzadi. And we do have a bit of a convoluted daf today, so we'll try and say it over as best that we can. Basically, the reason it's convoluted is because basically Tzadi Yamed Aleph is backwards, and that it's going to refer to a lot of items that they're going to quote later. But first, the Gemara is just going to refer to it haphazardly, assuming that you know the daf already. So we're going to have to do some background work here. But Mitzvah Shem will be Zocha and understand it together. So, okay, so we're here on Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Hamamana Achirim Imo Al Pischo Ve'al Chagigaso. Let's say someone registers other people for either their Korban Pesach or their Korban Chagiga. The idea here is that the guy lays out the money, buys the Korban Pesach, and then collects money afterwards. So the Gemara says, "Mos shebiyodo chulin." The money that he gets from this that people give him, right? Let's say he lays out the $100, and the four other people pay him $20 each. So all that money chulin is not kadosh, is not hektish. Now that is a bit of a stira, and that's what we're going to spend a lot of today's daf on, because usually, money that is set aside for kodesh things, for korbanos, for hektish, etc., is kadosh, and it's just like the korban that is set aside is kadosh, is hektish. So too, theoretically, the money should be hektish, and it's ironic that when the guy setting aside the money for the korban pesach, he buys the korban, a sheep is hektish, and now when he sells portions of that sheep, right, the money is chulin. The guy who sets aside money to partake of this korban, right, that he's going to buy into the korban, that money is also hektish. But now when he gives it to the guy, right, so now that money becomes chulin. That seems to be a bit of a steer. So we'll talk about that in a second. V'amocher olaso ushlamav lo asav l'klam. If someone sells his korban ola or his korban shlamim, he's not done anything, meaning it's not a good sale. Umos kol shehein yiplu lindava. And any money that he would get from that should be yiplu l'nadava, means they should be given to the Beis HaMikdash, and so they can be used to buy other or korbanos, right? If you remember, there was a box that they used to pay with what's something called Kates HaMizbeach, the dessert of the Mizbeach, right? They had some money there to buy korbanos when the Mizbeach wasn't busy, so that money would go into that box. The sale is not valid, and the money goes to Hekdesh, goes to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, 1 second. If you tell me that you can't sell your shlamim and your ola, I mean, it doesn't work. It doesn't help. Right? If I designate a korban ola or a korban shlamim for me, and then I sell it to someone else, it's still my korban. That's not a thing, right? Because, again, it belongs to Hekdish. You can't sell something that's not yours. So if the sale is no good, so why should the money you get from the sale, right, go to the Beis HaMikdash? Right? And Tosfos explains that we're assuming that the money going to the Beis HaMikdash is a knas, right? Is a punishment. If you look at Tosfos, mi'achar de lo asa, right? So if perush, in other words, e amris bishlama, if you tell me that asiyasu mu'eles, if you tell me that what you did actually worked, meaning you actually did sell your korban, so asishoper dekansirin lei, right? Then I get it. I understand why we make a knas, we find this guy, shol yargil alasos kein pamacheres, so that he won't do it again. Meaning you shouldn't sell a korban, that doesn't work, it's not good. Right? So we don't want you to do it again, so if you make a sale, so then the money, that all the proceeds you get from the sale should go to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to fine you, and that's where the money goes to that box we said before. Aval kevin delu also v'klum, but if you tell me the sale is not good, so my kansinon lei, what purpose is the fine? Right? Why does it help? Right? Kevin she'in mamish basiyasu, he hasn't done anything. Right, so then Gemara is going to explain, Mikol Makom Kansina, right? Regardless, there's going to be a fine, as you'll see right now. I mean, what's the point of the money going to the base? I mean, there's some Arava Knasa, it is a fine. Right, we fine him Mimanosh, regardless. Right, because we don't want that to happen, right? Because maybe it'll happen that he'll buy someone else's korban, etc. Right, we don't want to sell of korbanos because again, it doesn't work. So that's right. I feel like a Rashi over there, right? Rashi says, "Amar Rava Knasa, right? Kansu Rabbanan Lakona." The Rabbanan gave a knas on the guy who buys it, so he shouldn't buy another time, right? He shouldn't do it again. And this guy hasn't lost anything, right? Again, because he hasn't actually sold his animal. Right? So that's the money. We don't want these transactions happening, so we do fine him regardless. That's okay. So the money goes to the Hekdesh. We might call Shane. The Gemara says, "What do you mean, all the money?" Right? Obviously, the money that we're talking about is involved here. What do you mean, any type of money? So he says, right? Even in a scenario where, let's say, the sheep was worth four, and the guy paid five for it, Chazal also said that the fifth zuz should also go to the Beis HaMikdash, even though you might have thought that that's not the fifth one is not related to the sale at all, just a gift or whatever. Right? Now, all the money goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we don't want sales, back and forth business transactions with korbanos. Right? First of all, this doesn't work. Second of all, it's not a good thing. Okay. Now, Amar Ula. Now, Ula says, "V'tevar Rabbi Oshia." And some people say it's Rabbi Oshia who said it, but this is the question that we're going to spend the rest of the daf on. Efshar Yodi Chavrin Bavloi Taima Dehai Milsa Zet. Maybe the Chachamim in Bavel know the reason for this seemingly paradoxical halacha that we quoted before. Zehivrish Tole LePesach. This guy separates a sheep for the Korban Pesach, right? Like I said, he buys a sheep, right? Sheep set, designated. That sheep is for the Korban Pesach. Let's say it's worth $100. Vezehivrish Mos LePesach. And everybody else, right? The four other guys in his group, right? Separate money to buy a portion in the Korban Pesach, right? The Chura, both of them are Kadosh, right? Both of them are Hekdesh. So Hech Hekdesh, Chal al Hekdesh. How do you have the Hekdesh, the money, why is the Hekdesh being Mechalel? Why is it becoming Chulin? Why is it becoming not holy if it's being redeemed for a Korban Pesach, right? The Katani Maos Shev Yadu Chulin, because the price is said that it's Chulin, right? Again, that usually the way you're podes something with kodesh, right? The way you redeem something from hekdesh is you pay money for it and you get the item back. That's how the item then will become chulin. It will become redeemed. It will become not kodesh. Right? Usually, you have to transfer kedusha from one item that is kodesh to something that is not yet kodesh. That's the normal halacha of transferring kedusha, right? You can't transfer a korban. That's the whole issue of temura. We'll actually quote the Mishnah on temura in a minute. But you can be redeem something that's hekdesh. So for whatever reason, you had something that was hekdesh, you wanted to redeem it from being hekdesh. So you would give money, which was chulin, which was not kadosh, and then you would get the item, and the money would become kadosh, and the item would become chulin. But here you're dealing with two kadosh things. So how does it work, right? How does it work that the money becomes kadosh when it's being exchanged theoretically for the Korban Pesach? Now, before we get on to the Tzadi Amud Aleph, we need a lot of background over here. Again, this is basically, we're going to be learning the bottom of Tzadi Amud Aleph now, and then we'll dive into the actual the Gemara. Basically, Rebbe is going to say in a little bit that if someone gives money to the guy, who, again, this same idea, this same topic, where the guy, someone gives money to be part of a Korban Pesach, right? Again, the same construct that we had before. So again, the money it can be used for anything. It's a machlokes between the Rebbe and the Chachamim. Meaning, when we say that the money is chulin, it can be used, does that mean it can be used for Korban Pesach purposes or literally anything? So Rebbe holds that the money can be used for anything. And the Gemara, that can be understood, right, in one of two possible ways. How do we understand this phenomenon of the money becoming chulin when it's, again, theoretically called it's hekdesh, and the Korban Pesach is also kadosh? So the simple way of understanding is either it's something in the Korban Pesach, or it's something having to do with the money, right? Either the Korban Pesach, when it was designated as hekdesh, was designated in a way that it was not completely hekdesh, right, but the owner still retains some sort of value, some sort of ownership, and then when he sells portions in it, he can collect the money himself. Right, meaning, but since the korban wasn't entirely hekdesh, so it's not like he's selling hekdesh; he's just selling shares in the korban, and he owns a part of that korban, and therefore he just keeps the money because that's just like a normal sale of of anything. And so therefore it's the way the korban was designated, or is the korban completely hekdesh? But the way the money is designated to be with the tnai, with the condition that the guy who's getting the money, the owner of the Korban Pesach, is able to use it for whatever he wants. Okay, so it's either one of two possibilities. Either the Korban was designated in a way that, you know, the owner can sell shares of it and then take that money because he still owns it, or the money was designated by the guy who's buying in, and with the tanai on the condition that the guy who fronted all the money can use the money he's getting back for anything. Okay, now that's step one. The Mishnah says in Temura, that we're going to quote in a minute, that there's a halacha, well, that's not the Mishnah, really, the Pasuk says there's a halacha, that a person who pays for a prostitute's services, yes, I know that's random, a person who pays for a prostitute's services with an animal is not allowed to be brought as a korban, right? That animal is disqualified from becoming a korban. It's in the same Pasuk, it's also something that was exchanged for a dog, right? The Pasuk says, lo savi esnan zonan, Zona umechir kelev beis Hashem okecha. You can't bring an animal that was either traded for a dog or that was paid to a prostitute for her services. Okay, that's halacha in the Torah. Now, Rav Oshia is going to say the Mishnah says that even after an animal is designated as a korban, right? Let's say it was designated as a chatas. Right? Any normal animal, regular animal that you own, if it's given to a prostitute, then you can't be brought as a korban. Let's say it was brought as a korban already, meaning it was designated, not burned and consumed. Let's say it was designated as a korban already. So then that doesn't work. Then that doesn't work because that's not the guy's money, right? That's already hektish. That belongs to the Beis HaMikdash already, right? You can't, that psul of being paid to a prostitute, it doesn't work. I mean, the animal still can be offered on the Mizbeach. But the problem is, and stay with me, that the Mishnah brings a pasuk to teach me that that is true. The Mishnah is going to bring a pasuk to teach me that if it was the animal was already kadosh, then it's not applicable. It doesn't apply to the din of Esnan Zon, and you can bring it on the Mizbeach. I.e., without the pasuk, you would have... we would have assumed that it would still apply to the Isser of Esnan Zona, and therefore, and again, what we're saying is that without the Pasuk, we would have assumed that it belongs to the guy, that even after the animal is made Kadosh, it's the owner still retains some sort of ownership, even after he was Makdishim, because then, you know, when he and therefore, when he pays the Zona, then it becomes puzzle, Kamash Malan, the puzzle teaches me that is not true. That is not true. Okay? So that's that. Okay? Now, Rav Oshia is going to explain that when we say that a korban that was already made kadosh is not included in the Isser of Esnan Zona, that's talking about a korban Pesach. And he's holding like Rebbe, who says that the money can be used for anything. So apparently, what is Rav Oshia's understanding is that when Rebbe said that the money can be used for any purpose, when the money was paid to the guy who fronted all the money for the Korban Pesach, when he's understanding Rebbe as saying that the reason that he can use the money for everything is the first way we understood, is that the animal, the Korban Pesach, was designated in a way where the owner retains some sort of ownership. And therefore, when he sells shares of it, he gets to keep the money because he wasn't selling hektish; he was selling his own property. Okay, I think that's it. Let's again, if that wasn't complex enough, hopefully I can try and explain it as we go along. But I think that's as much of a background as we need. So now let's see. Amar Abai. Now Abai is going to disagree with Rav Oshia, and he's going to be the one who says that the reason the guy who fronted all the money for the Korban Pesach is allowed to use the money that he gets is because there's a stipulation in the money, not a stipulation in the Korban Pesach, but a stipulation in the money. So let's see. Amar Abai. Abai says, "Ilav de okme Rabbi Oshia lahi." If Rabbi Oshia had not said that the Mishnah in Temura is b'mana zona al pischo, that is talking about a case where the guy, basically, how did he pay the prostitute? He registered her for his Korban Pesach, right? He gave her a share of his Korban Pesach. For Rebbe, it's saying like Rebbe that, again, the reason that the guy is allowed to use the money that he gets from the Korban Pesach is because the animal that he designates, he still retains some sort of ownership. It's that the animal was designated in a way that he still retains some sort of ownership. Therefore, we would have thought that it's still shayach to the Isser of Esnan Zona, therefore Kamash Malan the Pasuk, that teaches me that it is not. Okay, fine. One second, sorry. Let me just make sure I'm saying that right. Right, okay, fine. So that, meaning if Rav Oshi had not explained the Mishnah in Temura, according to Rebbe, so then Rabbi would have said that Havar Makumina Leilahi, I would have established the Mishnah, but Kachim Kalim, that where the case is just a regular Kachim Kalim, a Shlomim or whatever, that you gave to a prostitute, Valiba Rabbi Yosei Aglili, the Amar Kachim Kalim, Mamam Shal Bailim Hu. I would have thought it's just Rabbi Yosei Aglili Shita, because you paid him with a regular Shlomim, which is, according to Rabbi Yosei Aglili, still the property and the money of its owner. But Abaye explains that by Korban Pesach, a person does not leave over any part of the actual Korban Pesach to be his own. Rather, it's the money. It's the money stipulated that when he gets paid back for the Korban, it's the money that they stipulate that he's allowed to use. Because when they separate aside this money, because that's the stipulation in how they separated the money. Okay, and this is meaning this price that we quoted is Rebbe Shita. And that's why when the price had said that what we quoted on Amabez, right, when the money that the guy gets money, it's because it's chulin and he's allowed to use it for anything. Because it's the money that person it leaves over, meaning it's the stipulation in the money, says Abaye, is the reason why a person is allowed to use the money that he gets when he's paid back for the Korban Pesach for anything that he wants. And now, meaning according to when Rabbi Oshia said that the Mishnah in Temura is like Rabbi, I wouldn't have said it's like Rabbi. The whole reason why Rabbi Oshia says that the Mishnah in Temura is talking about Rabbi Shita over here by Korban Pesach is because Rabbi holds that a person still owns his Korban Pesach a little bit. But I wouldn't have said that, Abaye, because Abaye says, because he holds that a person doesn't still own his Korban Pesach, he just gets money that has been stipulated for him to be allowed to use for anything else. Right? Therefore, Abaye needs some other case of where the guy still owns the Korban that he gives the prostitute, because otherwise there would be no havamina that it should, the isser of Esnan Zona should apply. We can't say that our brice is the Rabbi Yossi that's talking about a shlomim, right? The Tani law, because the brice says specifically v'amocher olasu shlomim lo asov lo klom, because when again Rabbi Yossi says that a person still owns his shlomim, and our brice has said that if you sell a shlomim, he hasn't done anything, implying that you don't own your shlomim. Right, so therefore, you can't say that our Mishnah, our Braisa, is Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, v'hashta da okme Rabbi Oshia lahi b'mamana zona al pischa over Rabbi hi, and the fact that Rabbi Oshia said that the Mishnah in Temura, which we're going to quote, is Rabbi Shita, that it's Rabbi Shita that we're talking about giving someone the Korban Pesach, giving the prostitute the Korban Pesach, part of the Korban Pesach, shmamina desfirulei afilu b'pischa mishayir inish. Apparently, we see that Rav Oshia hold that Rebbe's logic for allowing a person to use the money that he gets as paid back for a korban is because the korban pesach remains part of the guy's ownership. It remains partly in the person's possession, and when they designated it, it was designated as with this stipulation in mind that it was only partially hektesh, and the guy still retained some sort of ownership. So now the Gemara now quotes all this stuff which we just referenced in the last, 10 lines or so. Okay? So hopefully if I've explained decently, so then it'll seem somewhat familiar. The Gemara says, Mahid Rabbi Oshia, what is this explanation of Rabbi Oshia? It's not, because we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Temura. Nasan la mukdashin besnana, if you gave the prostitute mukdashin, animals that were already kadosh, besnana, for her services, so then hare elu mutarin. So they are mutter, right? Ovos de chulin, but if you gave her birds that were not kadosh, sare elu asurin. And the mission explains, shaya bedin, because it was logically, you would have thought the opposite, right? Because uma im hamukdashim shehamum posel bahem, just by kadshim, where if you have a mum, it's posel, ein estanu mechir chalalehem, right? They don't have an iser if they're paid for a prostitute or for a dog, if they're already kadosh, right? And even though they had a mum. So ofos, right? But birds do not have the psulim of a mum, right? There's no psulim by a bird for a mum. So, I mean, the psul, a mum is only a thing by an animal, not by a bird. So, ovus in lehem mum posel lehem, if it, oh, an oaf, which does not have that stringency, right, in odinsha in esnan mechir chal lehem. So, certainly you would have thought that a bird does not have the iser of esnan zona or mechir kelev on them. So, therefore, tamalo mer lechol neder. Therefore, the posse teaches me lechol neder, that the for any neder, that can be brought as a korban, larabos is ofos, to include the din of to include a bird in the iser of bringing the payment for a prostitute and a mechir kelev on the mizbeach. So birds are included because of the chol neder. So kal v'chomer, and then we apply kal v'chomer back l'mukdashin, back to other kachim. To show that the iser applies to other kachim. Me'ata. The Mukdashin Me'ata. Now we go back to the other. Now that we have this logic, so now we can go back to Mukdashin. Ma ofos she'ein mum posel b'hem esnan mechir chal lehem. If you're telling me by birds that don't have the iser of mum, right, they're less chamor than other kudshim, than other animals for that are brought as korbanos, right? They don't have an iser, a psul of a mum, but they do have the iser of bringing any bird that was used as an exchange for a dog or a payment for a prostitute. So mukdashin shamum posel b'hem ein odin she esnan mechir chal lehem. So certainly, right, you would have thought, right, you would think that any kudshim that are puzzled with a mum are certainly that should be included in this iser of bringing a prostitute's payment and a dog's payment on the mizbeach. So tamalomer lechol neder. So therefore, the pasuk teaches me lechol neder, right? Any neder that is brought, right? Prat lenadur, except for something that has been nadur already, meaning something that has already been given to Hekdesh, is not included in the iser of esnan zona. So the pasuk teaches me that it is not, even though you might have thought it is, right, something that's already kadosh can be fall under the iser of bringing a korban that was given to a prostitute. So the pasuk teaches me no, only something that was not yet kadosh is included in this iser of esnan zona and mechir kelev. So Gemara says ela taima dekas of rachmana neder, right, the only reason that this, the stuff that's not kadosh, that's already kadosh, is not included, is because the pasuk said neder. Halav hachi, without this, so hava mina, you might have thought that mukdashim, this an animal that's already kadosh, chal iser esnan alehim, has the iser of esnan zonah, and if you used a kodesh animal, an animal designated for a korban to pay a prostitute, you would not be able to bring that korban on the mizbeach. So the problem is, well, ain adam oser davar shein shalom. So a person is not allowed. Why would you even have that havamina? A person is not allowed to oser something that doesn't belong to him. The moment you designate a sheep as a shlomim, so that's not yours anymore. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Why would you have the havamina that would be included in the iser of animals that paid for a prostitute? How could you pay a prostitute with that animal? Right, you have to pay her back. First of all, you haven't paid her fully, and what's it called? And that animal is not yours to aser. Why would it be included in the iser of esnan zona? So Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Oshia." This is what Rav Oshia explains. What's the havamina? B'mamona zona al pescho v'rebihi. That it's when you registered a prostitute on your Korban Pesach, because it's Rebbe Shita who says, and this is exactly what we're saying, that when a person designates a Korban Pesach, he still retains some sort of ownership for it. So if he still retains some sort of ownership, and the money he gets from the zona is because he can sell shares in this Korban Pesach that he technically kind of sort of partially owns, so you might have thought that would fall under the Isser of esnan zonas. Kamash Malan, the pasuk teaches me that no, something that's totally kadosh and not something that the person still owns. Okay, so my Rebbe, what's Rebbe Shita that we've been referencing? Like, it would have been more logical to refer to Rebbe right up until now, or rather to mention Rebbe's Shita, but okay, we do it now. What's the Shita of Rebbe we've been talking about the entire time? The Tanya, like we learned in Rebbe, so im yamat habayis mios mise. If a person, right, if a house is not able to have a sheep, you know, it is either too few people or they're not able to afford it or whatever. So hechiyaso miset, right? So make him live, meaning from the set. How do you do that? So mikdei achila velo mikdei mechach, right? You can sell it because you need to for other people to eat it. Meaning, if you need other people to eat the korban pesach for you, meaning you wouldn't finish it on your own. So hechiyaso miset, meaning take the money that you can do, but you can buy a sheep, sell parts of it, and then you can make the money back to make sure it's eaten. That way you can figure it out if you're not able to eat it all with your own household. So the Gemara says, "Achilo v'lo mechdei mekach." The Tanakama holds that you're allowed to eat, take food of it, take food from it, meaning buy food with the money that you got from selling the portions, i.e., specifically food for Pesach. For Rabbi Omer, af mechdei mekach. You can even use that money that you get from selling portions in the Korban Pesach for business. She'im ein lo mimena. Acher imo al pescho al chagigaso umal shabiyado chulin. Right. Shame ain't lo because if he doesn't have enough money, right? Mimena acher imo. Not mimena. Mimane. You can register someone else with him on the Korban Pesach, right? Al pescho al chagigaso or on his Korban Chagiga umal shabiyado chulin and the money you get from that, right? Is chulin shal menaske nitishu Yisrael's pescheim because that's why. That's the whole way the Jews were makdish their Korban Pesach, that they retained some sort of ownership the Korban. Again, that's how Rabbi Oshia understands Rebbe, right? Abaye, if you remember before, had said that no, that's not how it works. That's how it's the condition that they designate the money for the Korban Pesach, that the owner should be able to use it for whatever he wants. Okay. Rabba of Rabbi Zeira, the Machog is Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, Chad Amar Be'itzin Letzliyoso, Kuli Amalu Pligi. Now, again, we just mentioned that according to Tanakama, you're allowed to use the money for food, right? For food, meaning specifically for Pesach, for Shayach toward the Korban Pesach, and Rabbi says you can use it for whatever you want. So now there's a machlokas in terms of when that applies. So Rabbi Zeira, Chadam Rabbi Itzel, and also Kuli Amalu Pligi. Right? One of them says, whether it's Rabbi Zeira, we don't know, but one of them says that if you're talking about buying wood to roast the Korban Pesach, that everybody agrees that given to the content of the Pesach, who can go for the Pesach Nami? That's fine. You can use the money to buy that because that's ready for the Korban Pesach itself. A kipligi b'matzo umar. The machlokas between Rabbi and Tanakamba as to whether you can use the money for other things is by matzo and mar. Rabbanan savri, the Tanakamba holds ha'achila achrisihi, that's something else. Right? That's already not shaykh to the Korban Pesach, even though you need it on Pesach, it's not shaykh to the Korban Pesach. For Rabbi savri, no. The Pesach who can go for the Pesach dami, right? What do you al matzos and marorim yochluhu? You have to eat it with the Korban Pesach, right? So the Rebbe holds you can buy matzah and maror with the money that you get. V'chad amar, and one of them says, meaning either Rabba or Rabbi Zeira, says that b'matzah maror nami kuli amal pligi. That no, by matzah and maror, everybody agrees that you can use the money for that because dichtiv the pasuk says al matzos and marorim yochluhu, that you eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror to give the machshir and the Pesach ninu b'kepesach dami. Just because, since they're things that they go along with the Korban Pesach, that counts as the Pesach itself. So kipligi, but the machlokas is likach bo choluk, likach bo talis, right? If you're buying a shirt, if you're buying a talis, buying a new suit, right? It's other things, right? Rabbanan savri michios miseh amrachmana hechioso laseh. The Rabbanan holds that no, the pasuk of miyos miseh, right, teaches me that it has to be things that are related to the seh, to the sheep, to the korban. For Rabbi Savar is hechay la'atzmo, hechyeh atzmo chamiseh. It means that keep yourself alive through the seh, meaning when you sell shares in the korban, so that's enough that you're allowed to keep yourself alive. You're allowed to use that for other items that you need in general. Okay, now just to go back to what, if you remember again, what Abaye says that the reason that Rebbe holds that a person is allowed to use this money for whatever he wants is because the stipulation is in the money, is that the money that a person sets aside to buy a portion in the Korban Pesach, so the stipulation is that the money can be used for anything else. It's not the Korban. The Korban is completely owned by the Hekdesh. It's not owned by the master at all. He's not selling shares in something that he owns. It's just the money that was given to him is stipulated that it can be used for other things. So according to Abaye, he says, the ilav ukmi Rabbi Oshi lahiv manazona al pesach v'Rabbi hi havi mokmina la b'kachim kalim Rabbi Yossi damar kachim kalim ma mabaylim hu al pesach l'mashar inish. So that is basically, that whole thing says what I just said, right? According to Abaye, who says, without going through those lines, right, that was the whole give and take that we had before at the top of the Amud, right, definitely Ayin Sham and definitely Du Chazara, but that basically, those three lines all say, according to Abaye, who says that the reason the guy can use the money when he gets the money for a portion in the Korban Pesach is because the money is stipulated that he's allowed to use as such. It's not because the Korban is owned by Hekdesh, is owned by the master. Rather, it's the Korban is owned by Hekdesh, but the money is stipulated that the guy gets to keep it. So the problem with that is, Tani Behedja, right? What do we say? If you remember the, when we quoted Rebbe, right? My Rebbe, we had the whole thing. What do we say at the end? We said, Shal menaskein hikdishu Yisrael es pischehem. Right, Rebbe says this all works, that the guy can use the money for himself, because this is how the Jews are makdish their Pesach. Well, that implies that it's a tanai in the korban pesach itself, like Rav Moshe says, not a tanai in the money, like Abaye said. So the Gemara said, how does Abaye understand that line? So the Gemara just switches it and says, listen, no, that's not what it says. It really should say, Abaye adds an extra word. It says, no, this is how the Jews are makdish, the money that they give to the Korban Pesach, not the Korban Pesach itself. Okay, fine. New Mishnah. Now, this also is going to require some sort of a little bit of explanation, but let's go into it. Zav Sharash De Re'ios. Okay, yeah, I guess we should probably do the Hagdama before we see the Mishnah. If we've mentioned once or twice, if I'm not mistaken, in the Masechta, that a Zav and a Zava, again, those are people who are Tame because they've seen some sort of emission. The rules by Zav and a Zava are slightly different. A Zav, a male who sees an emission, after two emissions, he is Tame 7 days. Then he has to wait 7 days, goes to the mikvah, and then he is Tahar. After three emissions, he has to wait 7 days, right? Count 7 days that are clean, go to the mikvah, wait for nightfall, and then on the eighth day, he brings a korban, right? Again, until he's brought the korban, that's something called mechusar kippurim, something we've mentioned, that he's lacking atonement, meaning he's missing the korban. Okay, that's for a zav. A zava, if she sees one or two emissions, then that's just like tummy that day, go to the mikvah at night, and everything is fine. If she sees three, now this is when I say two or three, this means either one on consecutive days or three or two or three in a single day. Either way, it's the same halacha. If the woman sees three, then she has to wait 7 days and bring a korban as well on the eighth day. Okay, so with that little background, now what about if a person is going to be come tahor that night, let's say she the seventh or eighth day, meaning the last day of their tum account is Erev Pesach. Do we shech the Korban Pesach for that person who is going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach because they'll be tahor at night, but they're not tahor right now? So the Mishnah says like this. Zav Sharash de Re'iros, if a Zav saw two emissions, meaning he has to wait 7 days. So shoktin alav bashvi, then we can shecht for him if Erev Pesach is his seventh day, right? So we can shecht the Korban Pesach for him, because again, he's going to go to the mikvah, he has Erev Shemesh, the sun goes down, and then he's Tohar. So then when it comes to eat the Korban Pesach, he's able to eat it. Rosh Shalosh, if he sees three, so again, then he has to wait 7 days, and then on the eighth day he brings a Korban, so then shochtin alav bashmini shalom. Right, then you can shecht the Korban Pesach if Erev Pesach is his eighth day, because what's he doing? He's bringing a Korban in the morning, and then he's good to go for nightfall. Shomer Siyom Ke'eged Yom, let's say a woman who is a Zava, who sees one or two emissions, so she's what's called a Shomer Siyom Ke'eged Yom, she's waiting to see if she'll see another one the next day, but theoretically she can go to the mikvah today, and nightfall comes, and she is Tahor. So shochtin alav hasheni shela, she can then go to the mikvah on her second day, either on her first or her second day, and then we will shech the Korban Pesach for her, if it's Erev Pesach, because then again, she'll be good to go once nightfall hits, and she'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Ras shnei yomim, if she sees 2 days, so that's if Shemesh Yom Kedegin Yom is the first day. If she sees one on one day, so we can shecht it for her, even if it's Erev Pesach. If she sees 2 days, so then shochtin alav shlishi, you can shecht for her on the third day, right? If azava, but if someone who's a full, if she's a full-fledged, no, sorry, my bad. Let's read it a little better. Right, rasa shnei yomim shochtin alav, but shlishi, no, I was right the first time. I mean, if she sees two, then she can shecht on the third day. Vazava, and if she's a full zav, then we shecht on the eighth day, right? Again, because she needs to bring a korban after her 7 days, right? She brings a korban on the eighth day, and then she can be tahor at night. So I'm Rav Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav, shochtim zorkan al tvul yom umechuzi kippurim. We will shecht korban pesach for someone who's a tvul yom, meaning someone who has to go to the mikvah, and then he'll be tahor at night. And mechuzar kippurim, and someone who just needs to bring a korban on their eighth day, but ve'in shochtin v'zorkin al tamei sheretz. But we're not going to shecht someone who has become tamei by a sheretz, right, and needs to go to the mikvah, and theoretically will be tahor at night. V'ula amar, but Ula says, right, and again, we'll see the difference between, what's the difference between a sheretz and someone who's finishing their zavut count, right, theoretically, both of them are going to become tahor in time to eat the korban pesach. The Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference? Ula amar, av shoktin v'zorkin al tamei sheretz. Ula says, no, even someone who's tamei sheretz, again, their procedure is they go to the mikvah and they're tahor at night, and they can eat the korban by the time, right, you have to eat the korban pesach, so they're in the same boat, and Ula says, we will shecht the carbon pays for that person. So the Gemara says, "L'rav, ma'ish not tful yom? Why is it tful yom? What's the difference between a tful yom and a sheretz? Right, a tful yom dechazi le'orta. A tful yom will be fine, will be fit to eat the carbon pesach at night. So tamei sheretz nami chazi le'orta." Right, so too, someone who's tamei sheretz also goes to the mikvah. Sun goes down, he's tahor. He'll be able to eat the korban. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, "Mechusar tvila." If you're telling me he's lacking tvila, so tvila nami mechusar erev shemesh. If you tell me that we're talking about a case where the guy is tamei sheretz and he still has not gone to the mikveh yet, so tvila yom also is waiting for the sun to go down. Right, he's still missing. He's also missing a stage. So Gemara says the difference is shemsha memela arva. The difference is that by someone who's tamei sheretz hasn't gone to the mikveh yet, he still has to do something. He still needs a maisa. Right, but the sun going down, that's nothing. Right? That's definitely going to happen, right? Baruch Hashem, that happens every day. So you don't need an action from the guy. So therefore, right? Therefore we'll allow someone to shechit korban pesach for that person because he doesn't actually have to do a maisa. Gemara says, "Mechusar kiparim nami." Well, 1 second, you grouped someone who's a tful yom, who's just waiting for the sun to go down, with someone who's a mechusar kiparim, who has to bring a korban on his eighth day. A mechusar kiparim, nami, he also has to do a maisa. So why do you say that that's fine? But someone who's tamei sheretz, who has to go to the mikvah, also needs to do a maisa. That's not fine. As Gemara says, a mechusar kiparim shekino biyado. So the case is where a mechusar kiparim is literally holding his birds, right? He's ready to go with his korban. The Gemara says, "Well, tamei sheretz, nami having mikvah lefana." There's a mikvah right here. Let's let the tamei sheretz jump in. Right? He's literally about to go to the mikvah. What's the difference? The Gemara says, "Dilma pasha, maybe he'll be negligent and he won't go." Okay, because he yachi mechusar kiparim nami dilma pasha. Well, maybe this guy holding these two birds also won't bring them as a korban. The Gemara says, "You're right. The case is kigon shemasrinu lebeizdin." That doesn't really mean beizdin; it means the kohanim. The case is where he already gave his birds to the kohanim. There's a way that there's a procedure where a person can give his bird korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash. He can leave. We can rely on the Kohanim to bring those korbanos. He doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to stick around. Kid Rav Shammai, because Rav Shammai says, the Amar, he says, Chazaka in Beis Din Shekohanim Umdim Mishamat Sheyachlu Maos Shevashufaros. Because the Kohanim, basically, the Kohanim are going to take care of their business. They're going to finish all the korbanos that they have to do that day, and we're not concerned that they won't. Okay. Fine. So that's the difference between a mechusar kippurim and someone who's tamei sheretz, because he still has a maisa to do. The guy who's tamei sheretz still has to go to the mikvah. Mechusar kippurim already gave his birds in, so we're not waiting for an action on his part, and therefore, according to Rav, you can shecht the korban pesach for this guy. So Gemara says, okay, 1 second. Ula Rav, d'midaraisa mechze chazi, v'rabanan hu d'gozrube. We're assuming that when Rav says we're not going to shecht someone for tamei sheretz, because he might, what's the reason? Because he might be negligent and not go to the mikvah. Right, that's a d'rabanan. That sounds like we're concerned that he may be negligent, therefore we're not going to shecht the korban pesach for him. But d'araisa, right, this guy can eat the korban pesach at night. Right, so that seems to be the construct here. So alama amar Rav. So therefore, why does Rav say that metamin echa mehem b'sheretz? Right, if you remember, that's a reference back to Daf Pei. Right, we did about 10 days ago. I guess exactly 10 days ago. If you remember, if we said that if Bnei Yisrael are half and half tamei, right, what do you do? If it's literally 50-50, right, we have the whole back and forth. Right, if it's literally 50-50, we don't know if the rov of Am Yisrael is tamei or the rov of Am Yisrael is tahor. So Rav's suggestion was make someone tamei sheretz, and then you'll have 50.001% tamei, and you're good to go. Well, the problem is, if you tell me that someone who's tamei sheretz is really allowed to eat the korban pesach midaraisa, but it's a gzeira derabanan because maybe he won't go to the mikvah, so what did you do? That doesn't help at all. Right? Then you're still stuck on 50-50. So Gemara says, "Elo the Rav midaraisa nami lo chazi." Really, no. Rav's logic is not because they may come to be poshea, may come to be negligent. Rather, it's a pasuk. It's really deraisa that a sheretz, a guy who's tamei sheretz, is not allowed to shecht korban pesach for him, even though theoretically he'll be tohor at night. Because the pasuk says, "Dechliv ish gish ki yet tamei lanefesh." If a person is tamei, again, if this is already the pasuk, if you remember, in Bamidbar there were people who were tamei in the midbar and they didn't know what to do. They bring korban pesach. This is a whole parsha of Pesach Sheni. So basically, the pasuk says ish ish ki yet tamei lanefesh. When two people are tamei, mi lo askinan shechal shvi shelo she lios be'erev pesach. But the case is, where a person was, his seventh day in his Tara process, again, it's talking about Tumas Tomei Meis. Right, that was really the case, right? Kiyat Tamei LaNefesh, right? Tamei from someone who passed away. So they're talking about someone who is Tamei Meis, right? And we're dealing with a case where the seventh day of his Tumah process is Erev Pesach. And basically, what's going to happen? He's going to go to the mikvah. The night will fall, and then he'll be fine. Then he'll be tahor. Dahainu Tumah Sheretz. That's exactly the same thing of as a Tumah Sheretz, where you can go to the mikvah and be tahor at nightfall. But v'marachmana nidchi, right? That was the whole parsha of Pesach Sheni, right? And the Torah says that it should be pushed to Pesach Sheni. So really, it's a pasuk that teaches me someone who's Tumah Sheretz cannot bring the korban Pesach. We're not going to shech the korban Pesach for him. The Gemara says, "I v'chitei minmai." If you tell me that, how do you know the that this is true? Meaning, maybe that it's really talking about. It's not talking about the seventh day of Tumah, right? It's talking about the third day of Tumah in terms of his Tumei Meis schedule, and he's not going to be tahor at night, right? I mean, how do you know it's talking about a case where the guy's going to be tahor at night? So, because Sover Lo Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rav holds like Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Tumei Meis Mitzvah Hayu. Tamei Meis Mitzvah, meaning there's a case of a Meis Mitzvah, not necessarily a Meis Mitzvah, but meaning a Tumah that they had to do, either a relative or whatever. And that's what Rav Yitzchak said, that was the case. Right? That there was the seventh day of their process was Erev Pesach, because of Shinema, because the Pasuk says, V'lo yachlu lasos Pesach b'yamahu. Right? The Pasuk says, V'yu and Hashem asher yu tmeyem ben the nevesh adam, V'lo yachlu lasos Pesach b'yamahu. They weren't able to do the Korban Pesach on that day. Implying that by Mahudu in on Yochol and Lasos, that they weren't able to do it on that day, meaning on Erev Pesach. Avalamach Yochol and Lasos, but the next day, they would have been able to do the Korban Pesach. So it must be, therefore, talking about a case where the guy was going to become Tahor that night, but still, the Torah said they should get pushed off. That's where Rav gets the halacha, that someone who's Tamei Sheretz is not going to be able to, we're not checking the Korban Pesach for him. So now, with that stated, what about our Mishnah? Tanah with under our Mishnah. Zav Shara Shtei Riyos. Right? If Zav, who saw two emissions, right? Shokhtin Alav Bashvi. Right? The Mishnah says that the Zav, who's going to become Tahor at night, right? You can check the Korban Pesach for it. Right? So, my Lav Delotavil, right? Are we talking about a case where he hasn't gone to the mikveh yet? Ushmami na Shokhtin Mizorchin Al Tamei Sheretz. Right? Apparently, right? Again, it seems to be the same case where the guy is not gone to the mikveh yet. Right? And the same, he's in the same boat as the Tamei Sheretz, where he hasn't gone to the mikvah yet. But if he goes to the mikvah and he'll be tahor at night, right, so then, right, what's going on over here? Right, by the Sheretz, you're telling me the pasuk says he's not included. By the Zav, we're telling me the Mishnah says that he is included. So Gemara says, "Lo, the Tavil must be that our Mishnah, the case is no, where he did the Tvila, yeah, already. But by the Sheretz is where he didn't do the Tvila." So Gemara says, "He Tavil, my Kamash Falan." Well, if he went to the mikvah already, right? So obviously, you're allowed to shecht for someone who's going to be tahor. So Gemara says, "Kamash Malan, da'af agav de mechusar erev shemesh." So then, the Shim Shem Meila Arva. It says that even though he's erev shemesh, he's the guy who went to the mikvah already. He's waiting for the sun to go down. So still, since the sun happens, goes on its own. So then, we're going to allow you to shech the korban pesach for him. So Gemara says, "Hachinam mistavra." It makes sense that this is what we're talking about. Migdani sefer, because the second part of the Mishnah said, "Rosh Shalosh Rios." If the Zav saw three, right, then again the halacha is if you see three emissions, then you have to wait 7 days, bring a korban on the eighth day, and then you're good to go. So Shochta the Lav Bashmini. Then we say that we'll shecht for you if the eighth day is Erev Pesach. See, Amr Bishlam, if you'll tell me that the case is the Zav Shalosh Rios Shochta Lav Bashvi the Tavil, if you'll tell me that the case where the Zav who saw two Rios is. And we're going to shecht for him on the seventh day, is where he went to the mikvah already, so then itzrich. Then you need to tell me that someone who saw three riyos, we can shecht for him on the eighth day, because you might have thought to say that Rosh Tei riyos bashviyu to lo mechusar maise, right? Because the case by when he saw two riyos and he's waiting 7 days, he went to the mikvah already, he doesn't have to actually do anything, the sun will go down and you can bring the korban pesach for him. I will rush shalosh, but if you saw, in the case where the guy saw three emissions, and now bashmini, what does he have to do on the eighth day? He has to bring a korban, right? The mechusar maisa, and mechusar gipara, right? He's missing, he has to do a maisa, he has to bring a korban to become tahor. So then, maybe you would think that, no, we won't check the korban pesach for him. It's kamash malan, therefore the buzzing teaches me The Alpha Gav the Mechus Kapara, even though he is missing this action of bringing a korban, still Shoktem Rizorch and he loved it. So they still will allow you to Shecht and sprinkle the korban Pesach for him. But if you tell me that the case where the guy saw two Rios and we're going to allow you to Shecht korban Pesach on the seventh day is the case where he hasn't yet gone to the mikvah and he still does need to do a Maisa, it's Rosh Alosh Bishmini Lavali. You don't even need to teach me the case where he saw three and he has to bring a korban on the eighth day, because both cases, right, are a case where he needs to do an action to become tahor, and yet we already said that by the guy who saw two rios and is waiting 7 days that we shecht korban pesach for him, even though he's allowed to go he has to go to the mikvah already, because Ashti Yishlomer, if you're telling me already that rosh day rios bashvi lo tavil, if someone saw two rios and on his seventh day he hasn't yet gone to the mikvah, the tami malu, he's actually tame. Because he hasn't gone to the mikvah yet, shachtinu v'zarkinu nilove, so we're still, says the Mishnah, you're allowed to shecht for him. So Rosh Halosh Bishmini, the Tavol Le Bishvi, the Kalisha Tuma, but what's the deal with the guy who shechted, who had three rios? Right, on the eighth day, he's already gone to the mikvah on the seventh day. Right, he's just waiting to bring his korban. Right, his Tuma's already lessened because he went to the mikvah. So Kolzer Gen, the Shechtin of Zakarin and Eluvia. So certainly you would assume that you can shecht and bring the korban for him. So apparently we see from here that Rosh Terios Bishri Shachtin and Eloi Vitavil. It must be that the case where the guy saw two emissions, and we're talking about that you can check the Korban Pesach on his seventh day, it must be that he already went for the mikvah, and we're not waiting for him to do a Maisa. So Gemara says, lo, really, lo olam, im lecha de lo tovil. Really, I'll tell you that the case is where he's still waiting to go to the mikvah on the seventh day. V'yisrich, but still, you still need both cases. Because you might have thought to say, Bashvihu de biyodu latake. Right, on the seventh day, right, the guy can make it fix himself. Maybe go to the mikvah. Right, he can go. So that's fine. That's when we'll allow you to shech the korban pesach. Aval bashmini the inviad lack of korban. But this guy, he can't bring a korban on himself on his own. He has to give it to the kohanim. So maybe ima pushi le bei kohanim. You might have thought that the kohanim will be negligent and won't bring his korban on time. So kamash malan kerev shmaya. So therefore, the pasuk says. Not the pasuk. Therefore, the Mishnah says that no, we will shecht the korban pesach for him because we assume, like Rav Shmaya said, that the kohanim are careful and they are going to bring every korban that is shaykh, every korban that is shaykh to them, that is given to them. Therefore, we're not nervous that the kohanim will not bring the korban. Okay, shkoy hakodah rabosai. We'll stop here. We'll go weiter in the other Gishas. Have a tremendous Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, and we'll go weiter on Motzei Shabbos.